Hey everyone, welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast, where we dive into the people, stories, and iconic moments that have helped make sneakers a global phenomenon. If you've ever told someone that you like their kicks, then you're in the right place. Before we lace up this episode, here's a little teaser for you. Stick around to the end of each episode for the last shot question. It's a chance to test your sneaker knowledge and engage with our community. I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter for a weekly deep dive into the biggest topics in the sneaker business. All right, now that the business is taken care of, grab your favorite pair of kicks and let's get started with the episode.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move! Oh, LeBron James with no regard for human life.
12 seconds. Bryant for the win. Bang! Iverson against Gill. The crowd on its feet. Allen for the win.
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up? What up? We're back with the Sneaker History Podcast, episode number 11, and I'm Nick Engvall. And I'm here with my guys, Mike Guillory and Robbie Falchi. Guys, why don't you introduce yourselves?
What's going on, everybody? It's Mike Guillory. I hope you guys are having a good day and ready to talk about some sneakers. What's up, Robbie?
Not much, everybody. Greetings and salutations to all our listeners. Just ready to have a fun-filled sneaker conversation here.
Yes, indeed. Oh. I'm definitely looking forward to it. Before we get into it, I wanted to just give a shout-out to MD Kovacs for dropping us a review on iTunes. We really appreciate it. And if you got time to do it on this episode, take 30 seconds, drop us a review, give us some feedback, good or bad. Hopefully more good than bad. If you're actually listening to this, then, you know, but you could give us feedback either way. So we appreciate you guys listening. And let's get into some topics here.
You can rate the corniness of my intros.
Or as somebody pointed out in one of the comments, how many times I say the word like. Yeah, I know. I say the word like a lot. So,
but it happens. Yeah.
It's a generational thing, man. It's like really fun to do.
I blame it on watching too much Scooby-Doo as a kid, and Shaggy was like my guy.
Shaggy.
So, you know, like if you're a Shaggy fan, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Like.
All the like.
Zoink. Oh yeah.
lots of news this week. Because it was the last thing we just touched on before we started recording, I just want to jump in with the Marvel Studios Adidas Basketball Heroes Among Us pack. I think it looks dope. Yeah. I mean, I like that they're bringing back, you know, retro product, mixing in with new stuff. There's the new Dame, new Harden, next level, the T-Max. I don't know. What do you guys think of this one?
Love it.
I think it's awesome. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big geek, though. So, I mean, anything Avengers, I'm all about it. But just getting down to, like, the nitty-gritty of the shoe, they did a good job. I mean, these look like they put some time and effort on them. You look at the Harden, it has, like, the Iron Man, like, indentations in the upper, and it looks really cool. It actually removes that 4-foot strap, give you some more detail of the I guess it's embossing. I don't know what that is, but it's really cool looking. But my favorite, which is weird because I don't like the shoe whatsoever in its normal state, but the Dame 5, it's simple black and purple with the Black Panther emblems on it. It is a solid shoe, man. I really like it.
No, they're beautiful. Like, Iron Man's probably my favorite movie Avenger. We have, like, just going, cinematic universe, but I am unapologetically against James Harden, so I can't rock.
Come on!
Man, I'm sorry. Travel, strong foul too much. But I'm a huge, like, the T-Mac 2 was a really big, influential shoe in my life. That's like, that was like the PE shoe when I was in middle school. So the kind of Black Panther inspired. No, it's not Black Panther. What's that, like S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, Nick Fury.
Yeah, Nick Fury, Sam Jack. So that's definitely my pick. Nick, what's your number one?
I think that one's my favorite too. I mean, I was a big T-Mac fan, and
have a bunch of his older shoes. So I do think it was really interesting that they put the Pro Vision in there, which is like, what, $100? You know, I mean, this is such a mid-range shoe.
Yeah,
but that's cool.
But yeah, I think that's dope because a lot of times you see packs like this and it's only the top tiered, only the, you know, the signature athletes, that kind of stuff. So to like mix in some other stuff and give people some new things to look at in it, or, you know, something that's been around, but like a new way to look at it. I think that's a really, mm-hmm. a really cool thing for them to do.
Yeah. They execute this very well. I'm trying to find something wrong with one of them. I can't. Yeah. Like they're all done like very well and like very thoughtful and each embody the, whatever they're trying, each character they're trying to represent, they've done well.
Like the Dame 5, like early kind of reviews on it and having held it in hand, the materials felt kind of, I mean, they feel like a lower end signature shoe, like mm-hmm. Dame, the very affordable model. Kind of like a Paul George, like an entry level signature. But the materials they used on the Black Panther Dame 5 makes it look so much better. Like it having that whole like lateral TPU kind of shank on the side looks a lot when it's jet black on top of a black midsole. It is the, like Mike was saying, the execution is just really good. There's really no qualm with anything they put out here, and so affordable. Except for, no one's gonna rock that Captain America shoe. It's cool in execution, but unless you go to like a red, white, and blue themed pool, you can't rock that next level on the streets. So that's like the weakest of the group is probably the next level. But
yeah, that's fair. I give you that. That's a fair statement. Like, yeah, if anything, that'll be the weakest of the group.
Cool though. Like I don't know. And over at Wear Testers, it's just like, I don't know how it keeps my foot down, but it does. So
I'm scared of that shoe. I'm petrified to even think about my shoe.
It does a great job, apparently. It's magic.
Heard, man.
It's like Captain America metal shield, or has that Tony Stark installed metal like callback system. Like,
So next topic, I guess, like sticking with the movie themed or epic storyline themed shoes. There's another Star Wars Adidas Crazy One Galactic Empire colorway that there's no real release date, but spring summer 2019. It's like all black, a little bit of like red on the collar, on the outsole. I mean, I'm a massive Star Wars fan, so I can nerd out about this one quite a bit. And the last few Adidas Star Wars collabs to me have been some of the most underappreciated collaborations because the quality of the materials that they use are phenomenal. And I don't know that the sneaker world even needs to appreciate these because there's enough Star Wars fans in the world that like they disappear eventually anyway. But I'm really feeling these ones. I'm looking forward to seeing what else comes from the Star Wars Adidas stuff.
No.
Yeah. That,
but it's like, you were saying how they can kind of go anywhere. Like this is kind of, there's so many Star Wars fans that she's going to get bought regardless. And it's so cool about those collaborations because maybe some sneakerheads would scoff at how, like, you know, overly thematic they are, or they'll find something wrong with it. But there's going to be some like 15-year-old who's like at the mall with his mom. He's like, dang, mom, you see these, you know, crazy apes? I need these. Like, I love, you know, they love it. So it's ties in so many different, ties in two huge niche groups, like Star Wars shoes. Beautiful.
Yeah, so I mean, I love Star Wars as well, and I just look at these. I mean, if Darth Vader was going to hit you with a Eurostep, it'd be in these. Dude, they're so like, they're so nice. I mean, it's probably not something I wear every day, but I have a couple pairs of Star Wars themed shoes, including one Adidas shell toe they did probably, I guess, almost 10 years ago, and I think we may have mentioned this before, but they just do such good execution from the the shoe itself, the paper inside the box, and the box itself is a whole event.
Yeah. You know what's crazy,
when
too?
When the Star Wars movie come out, I wear them.
Yeah, yeah. No, me too. You know what's crazy, too, is this is like the exact execution that, that we all kind of talked about the Ultra Boost and Game of Thrones, right? If they were to take it to the next level, that's exactly what they do with the Star Wars stuff. I mean, sometimes it's packaged in like crazy, like, you know, I don't know what you call that, like plastic, like, you know, toy packaging. They
did that
on one of the lines. And then, like you said, I have a pair of, I think Superstars as well, where the whole box is just like done up. It doesn't even look like an Adidas shoe box. It's got all the Star Wars, you know, coloring, graphics, all that stuff. The liner paper is, you know, specific to the shoe. Like it's just like next level the way they kind of approach the whole Star Wars thing. So, I wonder if they would have done Game of Thrones to this extent if it would have been successful. Because I feel like the Ultra Boost worked fairly well, but then I looked and, you know, I saw the Game of Thrones on the first episode of the new season. They did more views than they did, like 500,000 more, like 17.4 million viewers.
Yeah, it was something silly. They broke a record last night.
Yeah, and that's kind of like, that's crazy to me. I don't know how many people go see Star Wars, but I feel like they're those two and Marvel, like the three of them, like that's like just so many people that they're reaching with these kind of things.
Yeah, they did good. I mean, they picked the three things that everyone wants to talk about. But the only thing with the Ultra Boost, it just wasn't executed to the level of like this crazy one. And I've been going to the mall. I think I probably text Robbie probably every time I see him. I'm like, you're still here. I've seen every one of those Game of Thrones Ultra Boosts in any mall I've been in around town here in Houston, and just chilling.
And that is probably because a little bit of Ultra Boost fatigue. With to be honest, I still love wearing mine, but a little fatigue out there, and they don't have the geekiness factor of these Star Wars collabs. Like I was saying, the 15-year-old who doesn't give a flying fart about is going to see these and think, man, those are my Darth Vader joints. Like, those are my Kylo Ren joints. I need them. But the Ultra Boost doesn't screen Game of Thrones so much to where it is a passerby in a Foot Locker with a Game of Thrones t-shirt on and like long unwashed hair. It's going to be so specific. I need that too. So it doesn't have the shelf recognition that it could have from that brand or partnership.
Yeah, that's a great point. All right, so shifting gears, I think next up we have to jump into all the Coachella stuff. We talked about the Donald Glover Adidas a couple episodes back, and he gave them away. He airdropped them to people to give them away at Coachella, which I think is the most genius, awesome thing. I mean, sneaker releases, I think, are always like kind of pushing the envelope in terms of like how do you get things to people. But I think that's one of the coolest things that I've ever heard of or seen.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been to Coachella. I've never really kept up with it, but this kind of made me put an eye on it once I saw that news of what Donald Glover was doing, and he clearly won that day because of that. Even if, I mean, from what we posted on Twitter and other social media outlets, I mean, when we talked about the shoes, there's a lot of, I guess you would call it one of those polarizing shoes where either you love it or you hate it. But no matter if you love it or hate it, this guy distributed his shoe to one of the biggest parties in the world for the touch of a button. And he made it relevant with basically just paying the price of production for the shoes. There was no marketing. He had to pay for that. He turned his iPhone on and clicked on a list of people who were around him to airdrop him. That was genius. He has such a captive audience. You can't pay for that.
Man, it's such a digital world. And if you go and look It's really funny if you like look for pictures of boyfriends taking photos of girlfriends at Coachella. It's like what they're spending half their time at Coachella doing. Like, you have like a shoe airdropping. You're just like on your phone, you know, not paying attention to the $1,000 thing you just paid to get into.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this. I'm going to go like, and again, to people who don't know anything, people who are at Coachella know Childish Gambino. Like there's probably strong reason why they're there is that he's headlining. So yeah. Like that's such a treat. And that I'll never go. Like, I feel like the Coachella ship has sailed. Like my sister is Nick's age and she used to go for like less than $100 in Southern California way back in the day. And when I was in high school, $500, now it's just like stupid. So it's like,
that sounds insane. Overpay.
But if I were there, I would have just been geeking over it. Like that would
be
fun. Like Nick was saying, like to release a shoe like that, like it's unique, but it's also one that anybody who was there, even if they didn't have their AirDrop on or if they're an Android user, they 1,000% remember that experience. Like,
it was a moment, man. It was a sneaker moment. He, no matter what anyone says about that shoe, which I still stand by, I think it's a great looking shoe, he made a moment for that sneaker.
But it's so low key. Like Nike and other Adidas will spend so much time and effort letting you know months and months and months in advance something is coming your way. But this is just like, hey, you're here. It literally is a moment. You know, it's just like such a fun, organic way to kind of be around shoes again. So that was just really, really fun. Very nice Bob Ross moment, like happy trees.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool to think of it in a way that we all kind of grew up watching these moments happen and then remembering the shoes that were in the moment, right? And now it's so much more about the moment specifically that shoes are going to release at the event, you know, like at Coachella, you're going to get shoes, you know, like we were talking about, you know, Pusha T's releasing out there. And I think that's such a cool way to experience. I mean, it's like the modern day like concert shirt, right? Like you go to a concert, you buy a t-shirt to say that you were there and to remember it, right? And now it's like, now there's, you know, unfortunately, like Robbie said, you know, Coachella's so much more expensive than what it was, but all of those things that have been packaged with it and all of the opportunities that people get to like, you know, have crazy memories from it are, you know, you could argue that it's better, I guess, you know, obviously there's plenty of people still going to it. But I just think it's so cool that we're kind of moving into this place where as much as like, you know, I'm kind of waiting. I mean, Nike and LeBron do it with the releases when he wears a shoe and they drop it on the sneakers app. But
yeah,
I'm looking forward to a time where, you know, let's take like a Lakers game and LeBron, right? If you only had the opportunity to buy a pair of, you know, one of the LeBron watch shoes at the game, that would be so dope to be able to say, I was there, I got these shoes, and this is my experience from it. Where, I mean, that was so far beyond, I think, anybody's thoughts, you know, as we were growing up, when you're looking at Jordan and Iverson and, you know, Magic and all these guys, that it was just, you know, cool. We're going to have a shoe that's available at the mall. You know, you're just going to see it being worn on court.
Yeah. So many more opportunities now to make it bigger than just the, like I say, the on court presence. So that's super cool. What a time.
Yeah. So I think the other, we mentioned the Pusha T thing, and I think, you know, it's super dope to see. I've been a fan of most of the Pusha shoes. I don't know that the, you know, the drug reference, drug money reference every time is not like played out yet, but I do like the shoes that he's been putting out. I don't know. How do you guys feel about Pusha and Adidas and the shoes that he's been?
Man, I like having more of a, I mean, you got to say it's more of a risk because you don't know if it's something either Twitter beef or real life beef or, you know, how affiliated to like criminal activity he really could. So, you know, there's something could turn bad you don't know. And that like partnership could like get thrown in your face like a blown Air Force One because it just goes really quickly. So I'm not like, I like his music, but I've never, it's like never really been a line that speaks to me, not because of the messaging, just because I don't care about Pusha T enough to buy a shoe from him. You know, it's like list of rappers. He's not like my top 20, and that's just me. A lot of people like him higher, but don't care, out of sight, out of mind, kind of my two cents. What do you think, Mike?
Well, it's crazy because I feel the same way about his shoes. He's actually one of my probably top five favorite rappers.
See?
Just one of, yeah. And it's crazy because not one of those lines in his music will ever speak to me. But, you know, sometimes you just kind of want to get that, you get the extra when you're trying to lift weights in the gym, man.
Yeah.
But his speakers, I mean, for what they're doing, if I'm looking at just as a pure just design, pure just critique of what they've done and what product they put out. They've done a decent job. I don't have any complaints about them. The only one I didn't like was the Bodega Babies. It was like the one model after a brown paper bag. I think that was
those are cool. Those brown paper bags are cool. Like premise.
Some like brown shoes, I guess.
I mean, there's not a lot of brown shoes in the world. There's not enough of them.
For a reason.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with Mike on that one. I'm not a big fan of the brown shoes.
I mean,
they do them justice. Like, his shoes sell. There's very few times. I mean, they're not selling super, super high on the resale market except for a few pairs. Like, it was the all-white ones that came in, like, the Pyrex clear bags in the box. Yeah, that's cool theme, but that's one of those things we can come back to you later if something goes sideways. But if we're just looking at pure execution, they've done well. He hasn't had a dud yet, put it like that. So he's on a good run, and I can appreciate that.
Putting that shoe in a Pyrex bag isn't going to make me want to buy it over, like, an Air Max. I'm gonna look at it, maybe take a picture of it, then delete the picture 2 weeks later. But like it's cool. You know that feeling. Oh, I'm gonna post it, never do anything with it, and just delete it.
Yeah, you're like, move on.
That was a poor thought moment. But all right. I'm sorry to hear my cat meowing super loud. She will not be quiet. So pardon little Tony here.
She has an opinion too.
Hey, everybody's got an opinion on Pusha T's sneakers, apparently.
Right. My cat's straight edge.
So last Coachella topic, Virgil Abloh rocks some pretty crazy like Nike Zoom ACGs. Man, I don't even know what to think of them.
Zoom resale.
Is that way
Zoom resale.
Oh, wait. I realized that was a name for a second. Stop. Yeah,
that's exactly what it should be called.
They look like track spikes. The more I look at them, they look like track spikes.
Yeah, they kind of have like the knobs and stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry. It looks like an appropriate shoe if you're never going to wear like a coveted shoe out on a like forested hike. It's like, you know, it's like if nobody's buying that shoe to actually go hiking. Like, you would buy it to stunt when it's really meant to have, like, if you ever walked in, like, trail shoes on the concrete, they're uncomfortable. Like, the little pegs coming out are not fun to walk. So, like, totally hyping up a mountain trainer, that's just, I don't know. Sorry, I'm gonna step back again. But it's just, I don't like it. No.
So
I'm with you on that, man.
I like the style of the shoe. I agree that the knobby like spiky things on the bottom are overkill. But I could totally see all the Instagram famous people, you know, quote, hiking and walking up the trails here in LA. And
beast hiking.
And yeah, and like posting these up. I mean, I don't know, like the shoe itself to me is like, okay, I wouldn't buy it unless I was, you know, just going to sell it because it's obviously going to be worth more than what it releases at. But I would never wear it. But I do like the shoe. If it didn't have the knobs on it, I could totally see wearing that. But
yeah, a different outsole would be bought like better. I'm trying to look at it some more, try to find something redeeming about it for myself. But yeah,
is it brown? What color is it? I kind of can't tell.
There's brown. There's like three of them.
Green.
Yeah, there's like a lime green. There's a black with pink. And then there's like a white with lime khaki. Green.
Oh, wait, there's a couple of them, man. Hold on.
I'm so
cool. The black one.
I thought khaki was brown, man.
No, you never heard the color cargo khaki?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's like a greenish color.
Shout out to the cargo khaki.
I read a lot of color codes on Box.
Nice up there. Port wine. It's like a really deep Nike red. They did on a pair of Coach 8s.
Like, wait, where is that at?
The red Year of the Snake Kobe 8s. They're technically port wine.
Oh, no, I thought you looked at these shoes. I was like, where is their port wine in the shoe? Why
no, I'm just going on a tangent about random with, you know, cargo khaki. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of over the whole Virgil approach to Nike collabs.
Yeah.
Hear, hear.
I mean, yeah, I can throw that.
So I guess that just brings us to like probably the biggest topic in all of sneakers right now and for the next foreseeable future until some sort of announcement is made. But, we're all kind of waiting to see what happens with Zion Williamson. He announced his entry into the draft, and he's obviously going to get big money for a shoe deal. You know, he's arguably like a top 50 NBA player right now, and he's not even in the league yet.
Crazy.
Yeah, and I was reading – there's a few great articles actually on it, but Nick DiPaolo wrote one for ESPN – and talks about the signature shoes that NBA rookies have had over the years. And just to run through them real quick, it's kind of crazy because you don't really think about like rookies getting signature shoes is pretty rare. So the first was Hakeem Olajuwon in 1984 with Etonic, Jordan in 84 with Nike, Shaq in 92 with Reebok, Grant Hill in 94 with Fila, Jerry Stackhouse in 95 with Fila, Allen Iverson in 96 with Reebok, Stephon Marbury in 96 with And One, LeBron James with Nike in 2003, and Lonzo Ball with Big Baller Brand in 2017. So Zion is basically coming into this, and, you know, there's a quote from Sonny Vaccaro, who, if you don't know that name, he's basically the guy that put together all of the Jordan Nike deals. He's been involved in like dozens of footwear contracts over the years, and he's actually got like a great book. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but it's definitely worth checking out. He's done a few films too, but he basically said that he thinks that Zion Williamson is going to be the first $1 billion, like he's going to be a billionaire. The contract wise will be a billionaire. I don't know. Like, that seems crazy to me, and I don't want to be a pessimist, but I'm just – I have a hard time believing that any rookie is going to come into the league and have that much of an impact. I mean, I feel like even LeBron and Jordan, you know, yeah, they made a big splash the first year or two, but it took them a few years to get into the rhythm and the flow of the league – compared to, you know, where they were at prior. But what do you guys think about this whole thing?
Go ahead, Robbie.
No, just because it piggybacks off like Nick's disbelief on what it could possibly get to, that $1 billion mark. Like 25, 30 years ago, nobody would have thought a computer company would have been valuated in the billions before, you know, going public. You know, I'm not a finance master, but like, you know, this changed the way money and sales went. And it's kind of just like escalated, and with social media, that it's really not that crazy when you factor in how many more avenues, I want to say avenues of wealth that Zion can produce, you know, social, on the court, in person, internationally. It's also connected that even when LeBron in 2003 got signed, like that door was starting to be open, but it was like the infant stages. This is somebody with unlimited potential on the court that's also going to translate into unlimited potential, you know, dollar sign wise. So the disbelief is very normal, but it's more reasonable when you think about like, just the evolution of money and big business. And yeah. So sorry, Mike, go ahead. I just wanted to get that.
No, you're good, man. No, excuse me. That was a good point though. I mean, my thought on this is the reason, this is pure speculation on my part, by the way, but the reason that this, all this talk is happening, I mean, Zion is good. There's no taking it away from him whatsoever. I still don't know what he's going to do in the league because he hasn't hit the court yet. And that's, I think that's a reasonable thing to say because he hasn't played with NBA players. And like Nick is saying, he hasn't been into that flow of the game yet. It's a different game in college. With that being said, though, with recent decline, and I say decline, but that's very silly to say, but LeBron, he's getting older, sustaining his first, you know, long-term injury, the 18 games being out. I think the league and their marketing is are actively looking for a new face of the NBA who's going to come out of college and be a superstar immediately like LeBron was as soon as he got out of high school. I just feel like right now, I don't think Kevin Durant's going to be a marketable person just because he's gotten to the point now he just doesn't care about, I mean,
I just think,
well, he cares more. He doesn't care what people think about him anymore. That's what I should say. He's on his own path and just, hey, I'm about me, whatever. He's not that, you know, they used to call him the dick guy, but now he's getting ejected out of games and all this stuff, causing uproar here and there. Kyrie just doesn't seem like he'll be the guy because, again, he's at that position of just kind of fighting back with fans and media thought and their perception. So I feel like Zion's going to get pushed into this role, may end up getting that nice like, $1 billion valuation of the contract because they're going to try to mold him to the new face starting draft night. And I think that's the reason this is happening.
Yeah, I mean, I could see the $1 billion mark is I think that comes on like his second, you know, footwear contract. If he proves himself, because to Robbie's point about, you know, kind of the way the spending has grown over the years, right? Like Jordan's first contract was like $500,000 a year or something like that. And LeBron's was
87 million, I think.
Yeah. 87 million. But I think like I read something where Reebok's offer to him was right around $115 million, but he chose to sign with Nike. And then I know that KD had when he was doing his thing with Under Armour and Adidas, they were in the $70-75 million range. So, and I forget what LeBron re-signed to Nike for. I don't know if that was actually public, but I feel like...
undisclosed.
Yeah, I feel like eventually you could see that. With maybe with Zion, but it's going to be interesting because one, like he's been wearing Nike because he's at Duke, right? Before that, he played in a lot of Harden shoes. His AAU team was an Adidas kind of school or Adidas program, whatever.
Yeah.
And he, for a long time, was like thought of as just like guaranteed Adidas athlete. When he went to Duke, that kind of changed that whole thing. But then you have the blowout, which to me can't possibly have not affected his thought when it comes to choosing who he's going to sign with. And if I'm him, like, you're going to have Puma coming at you for sure, New Balance for sure,
oh, yeah.
Adidas for sure, probably Under Armour, Nike for sure. I mean, Adidas had all that controversy around, you know, around like the college, you know, payments and stuff. So they've backed off on a lot of the deals, but Zion is one of those players that could potentially like elevate the basketball category for them to levels that they haven't seen probably since T-Mac, you know? So I'm really excited to see what happens. I'd love to see him. To your point about the draft, I'd actually love to see him push off the decision until after and see what happens from all of the buzz around the draft and then, you know, decide. And who knows? He might have already signed the deal right now and we don't even know. They're just going to keep it under wraps until, you know, the timing is right in their minds. But
well, if he goes to the Knicks and he waits to sign until then, his contract would double immediately.
Yeah, it'd go way higher.
Yeah.
Because of the exposure in the city you're in. If he was smart and it looks like the Knicks would most likely get him with probability of the ping pong balls, his contract would skyrocket.
Well, what's really in his favor, and if you've read a little bit about Zion or watched some, like, I watched a documentary about him, so I got to see how he was raised and to get to learn about him as a man more. Mm-hmm. And the reason why LeBron has a lifelong contract, why he started out at $87 million and turned down much more money with that long-term kind of vision. Like, LeBron has been so clean in terms of everything, really, like outside of the decision. That's the only thing he's really perfect. But he's just been such a role model and standout gentleman. Pretty, he has a potty mouth. That's besides the point. But like his years of good work on the court and off earned him that lifetime. I think Zion came from a really strong support base and was raised really well. And if he can stay out of trouble, I think that $1 billion mark is more of like the long-term projection, like the max possible. No, I guess the best outcome possible would be that $1 billion mark. And he was raised in a way that I think he can handle the pressure of wherever he gets drafted and then, you know, be a good person. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, signature athletes have to have a certain level of, you know.
He's a clean, like, yeah, I know what you mean. He's a clean persona that is not going to be in trouble for him, basically.
And he's hungry. Like, he has everything you want your signature athlete to have. So long term, it could really be lucrative.
I mean, I can agree with that. And he has had no problem. He's a very intelligent guy, sounds like, from the interviews I've heard. He's not in the set of like, he's going to be the, you know, next LeBron James. But when it comes to persona, personality, and intelligence, he's the second coming of LeBron James. Like, he's going to be that. The guy to be able to have these interviews and have these conversations on camera and know what the heck is going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I will say one thing that makes me wonder how he's going to actually do in the league and, you know, with this sneaker deal. He's from my opinion, he just doesn't have he doesn't quite have the personality that like a LeBron or a Kobe or a Jordan or, you know, like he seems more reserved to me. And that could be a bad thing. That could be a good thing, you know, to your point, Robbie, he, you know, there is some expectation of professionalism and, you know, kind of keeping
your house clean.
Yeah, keeping your house clean, keeping your name out of the you know, the media as much as possible in terms of like the negativity and social media and all that. But I still think that as a signature athlete, people need to have enough of a personality to be relatively entertaining. And especially in basketball, where we look at these guys and we just think like they have to have a certain level of swag in like the way that they walk into the gym, you know, especially now when we're seeing these guys, pictures of these guys walking into the gym, we see them, you know, shooting warmups. We see them, you know, in the tunnel, in the locker, like everything is filmed and photographed and put on social media. So I wonder if Zion has the personality to like add on to, like, I'm not saying that his skills are not there, because obviously he's an incredible basketball player, but if he doesn't have the personality to back up those skills in terms of the 16-year-old me, like the 16-year-old me cared more about Allen Iverson's, like, you know, no F's given approach to life just as much as I cared about his crossover and his moves on the court. So my hope for Zion is that he comes out of his shell a little bit more once he gets into the league and gets more comfortable and starts to play up on how good he really is. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, that's what's driving Giannis, his success right now off the court, is that he's started opening up and being more personable and showing himself to the world. And I think that's what everyone you hear talking is like, Giannis is the next guy. He's the next guy. He's up. They're bypassing. They're literally stopped talking about Kevin Durant, you know, all these other guys. But because he's showing this personality that people are apparently like, they gravitate towards, it makes perfect sense. I mean, you listen to the guy, he has a right amount of cockiness. He has the utmost confidence in himself, but he still seems like a nice dude.
The opposite of kind of what Nick said might be at play here is, I think of MJ being more, I just want to win basketball games. I just see this very narrow focus his first, you know, 1-2 years in the league. He was doing the commercials, but outside of, I mean, the commercials really weren't saying a lot. He's like, I want to be like Mike. It's just like really simple. And that was much later. Be like Mike, but just like, he wasn't really out. Like, Kobe was showtime the second he stepped on a court. Like, I don't think there's that much of a difference between MJ and Zion in terms of their outwardness at this age. And keep in mind, Zion's younger. Like, Zion's, 3 years younger than what MJ would have been, 2 years younger. So I think he has some personality already. Is he's somewhere between, you know, middle. It can definitely get worked on. But not having to play at Duke, because Duke doesn't really want that kind of personality stepping out. You're more about being on Duke than, you know, your name.
The personal brand. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. It's the Duke brand, not their brand. So that can very easily get shifted into that.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Kobe thing. I think with Jordan, you know, he was wearing gold chains, you know, his rookie year. And that was not something that other players in the league were doing. Like, it was still pretty calm at that time. And with Zion, like, the interesting thing to me is exactly what you said about Duke, right? Like, you choose Duke because it's a team school, right? Yes, you can come out of it and be a Kyrie, but you choose Duke because it's a very low-key, like, attention school. If you want to be, like, a superstar, you go play almost any other school, right? Because when you commit to Duke, you know that the program comes first. So, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to like, watch the next few weeks. I think the draft is is June, like, second or third week of June.
There's a culture change between Louisville and Duke. Culture difference.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yep. Yep. But yeah, I don't know. Let us know what you guys think. Like, if you're listening, I mean, where's Zion going? So, who's he signing with? I'm gonna put it to you guys too. Let's make a prediction.
Yeah,
Brand and amount. What's the contract gonna be?
Ooh. All right, I still say he's gonna sign with Nike just because I know he had a slight bad taste in his mouth from the shoe exploding on him, but the response of Nike sending out their guys to fix the problem and, you know, get him right, that shows a lot. Hey, we messed up, but let us correct it. So I think he's going to Nike. I think he's going to have a rookie contract of 5 years, $100 million.
Right. I mean, with Nike, I think in the basketball realm, all you have to say is, like, the Zion, you know what it is. Like, I mean, it's true. Like, look at the trajectory of Adidas long-term and Nike long-term. You could have your own brand, your own sub-brand, subdivision with Nike. So I'm thinking, like, you know, probably like maybe five, seven shoes, so 5 to 7 years, like 150, 175, something that's like stupid.
Yeah, I think you're right on the price. I think he's going to sign with Nike, but I'm really hoping that he signs with someone like Puma or New Balance, just because, like, I think it would just be cool to see him do something like out of the norm. But I don't know, like, if you're listening, let us know what you think. Tweet us at Sneaker History, or drop a comment on at Sneaker History on Instagram. And before we wrap up, I guess let's throw out a sneaker pick of the week. Why don't you start off, Robbie?
Sorry, I had a cough attack there. So my pick is the Earth Day Steve Harrington Air Force One with those really cool cartoony graphics. They're just really, really different and a collaboration that really won't get any talking about long term. Just really well done. What do you think, Mike?
I love that pick. That is, I might be trying to pick this up myself, but what caught my eye was the Armand Manier Adidas BYW Level 2 or Lowe's. I've always liked the Boost You Wear series, and it's such a unique looking shoe. I think the materials on it look really solid, and like I said, something different. I really like them, so that'd be my pick. Nick, what you got?
I'm probably going to go with, I don't know. I'm probably just going to go with the Jordan 4, like the black and reds. Or, I mean, I just got lucky, so they're fresh in my mind. Sorry, not to rub it in.
Right. You can just send me one of those, like, five pairs of 2012s you have in the storage unit somewhere.
Yeah, I think you wear two sizes bigger than me. That's the right. I'll just, like, triple socks and insoles in there. It's fine. I just swap around those so well.
Yeah, I just think it was cool that they did the surprise drop. It's been a while since they did something that wasn't leaked out. You know, we talked about it on a previous episode where even, you know, when some of the stores are restocking stuff, they're tweeting it out the day before just to pay attention. So I thought it was super dope that they did it. And then, like, I just happened to be sitting on the computer working while it happened. So it took like 3 or 4 tries, but it went through. I'm actually surprised though, Robbie, you didn't go with the dog walk, the SB Dunk High dog walkers.
Oh yeah.
Oh snap. You know, the dunk, like the skunk dunk, is it the pinnacle of like stoner fashion? So there's no few, like maybe the Cheech and Chong dunks. Well, those are a far second, but it's like those were the most thoughtful, beautiful. Just like, I don't know, if you ever see a pair of skunks in person, they just like look so crazy in person.
Yeah, they do. I can attest to that.
Not my vibe.
Cool. Well, that pretty much wraps up this episode number 11. Man, it's super dope that people are listening, and you know, we appreciate that that you're taking time to listen. We just like talking to each other about sneakers, and it's just cool that we can record it and throw it out there for you guys to all listen. And we've been getting some good feedback, and we appreciate all of you. And that's about it. Yep. My name's Nick Engvall. You can follow me on everything at Nick Engvall, NickEngvall. More importantly, you can follow at Sneaker History on all platforms. And guys, why don't you let them know how they can find you?
Yep. Hey, this is Mike Guillory. You guys can find me on Sneaker History as well. Also, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram under the name MadWatcher789. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate you. Nick, where can we find you, man?
I know what you mean. but yeah, you can find Robbie here on all social media platforms at RAHBEE702. And yeah, I mean, I love everybody who listens. And if you don't, I still probably love you too. So just thank you. Tell a friend. Tell a friend.
Yes, sir. All right. We'll catch you on the next episode. Peace.
See you guys.
Hey, what up, guys? This is Nick again. Before you take off, I just want to let you know a couple things we're working on here at Sneaker History. We're about to start a weekly newsletter to share some of the things that we find from around the web that's interesting, entertaining, newsworthy stuff. And instead of putting it all on social, maybe it's not worth posting on the blog, but we wanted it to just be on your radar. So it's kind of like a compilation of our favorite things from the week. And we'll be sending that out on Sundays just to make sure that you have the news from the previous week and maybe some news about the upcoming week in terms of releases, you know, changes in release dates, etc. You can sign up for that now at sneakerhistory.com. The second thing is that we finally launched a web store to sell some Sneaker History merchandise. So far, we've got some tees, stickers, coffee mugs, and some other goods in the works. And the money we make from this will go to pay for hosting and production of things like this podcast. You can find that on the top right menu of our website. If you do cop some merch, be sure to tag us in your social posts so we can repost. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, hey, Nick here again. Before you take off, I want to thank you for listening to the Sneaker History Podcast. Be sure to hop into our Discord to answer this episode's The Last Shot question and get to know our community of sneaker enthusiasts. If you'd like more insights on the trending topics in the sneaker world, I've also recently started a newsletter to share my knowledge from nearly two decades of experience working in the footwear industry. You can find the link to that below or go to sneakerhistory.com/newsletter. And last but not least, tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a simple compliment can take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Thank you for all the support, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.